You know, what you really want in marketing is for the cover to look good too, but we're all taught as young children to not judge a book by its cover. But when you open it up and you begin to read it, it's like the first episode, the pilot episode of a new show, all right? Or the first chapter of a book. If it doesn't grab you, it is missing something, okay? So we would assume that as these books started that we're going to go through, that we would, that we would be captivated, that we would be like, let's do it again. Let's go after this. So we are going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes for a time. I don't know how long, till we get done, all right? And we gave an introduction last week, and I read a verse to you, and we're going to read it again because we're going to start in chapter 1 and verse 1. Here it is. At the top of the page, the very first thing you read in bold type, everything is meaningless. I'm all in. I'm ready. Tell me more. The words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem, meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Now, how many of you are excited about the book? Exactly. Verse 1, the words of the teacher, the word Ecclesiastes, the teacher, the preacher. The author identifies himself as one who wants to impart wisdom, one who wants to impart knowledge, one who wants to pour into the people. I am writing this book in order that you may have what I know. I'm offering to you all of my wisdom and knowledge. Who is offering it to us? Son of David, King of Jerusalem. Who is this? Solomon. Son of David, King of Jerusalem, Solomon. Let's rewind. Solomon is a child and has a dream, all right? And he hears himself being called, and he runs in, and he says, did you need me? Runs into the other bedroom. Did you need me? No, I didn't call for you. Few minutes later, he hears the voice again, Solomon, and runs. Did you need me? No. Third time, runs in there, and here's what he's told. He says, next time you hear your name called out, say, yes, Lord. Say, yes, Lord. And so Solomon goes back in as a young boy, and God does call him Solomon, and he says, yes, Lord. And Solomon, or God speaks into him, all right? Now, he's going to be king, but he's scared to death. And so God says to him, I'm going to give you whatever it is you want, power, riches, glory, fame. And Solomon, as a young boy, asks for wisdom. I want to be wise with a humble heart, afraid of what he's called to do. Solomon says, God, this is what I infer. God was so impressed by the answer of this child that he not only gave him wisdom, but here's what he said. I'm going to give you wisdom and riches and knowledge and power beyond anything anybody, any human being has ever known. So here's what you need to understand. Not by his own right, not like self-made, not like Steve Jobs, not like Bill Gates, all right, not like any of those people, not like Michael Jordan, practice, practice, now I'm a big guy, LeBron James, now I'm a big, no. God himself imparts godly wisdom, godly riches, godly power, godly fame, godly fortune upon this man. Solomon, in his time, in any time before, and in any time after, was on the planet the most rich, the most powerful, the most wise, the most knowledgeable, the ever. Because what was imparted to him was given him by God out of the abundance of his blessings. All right? We're going to keep returning to this fact because in order for this book to mean something to you, you've got to understand who's talking to you. He's not talking out of someone who sat in a classroom. All right? He's not talking out of someone who has earned a few bucks. This guy is talking out of wealth, power, and riches beyond anything you could fathom. And he's saying, I want to pour this into you. Meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Thank you, Solomon. Let's see what you have to say about this. What does man gain from all of his labor at which he toils under the sun? And this phrase appears more than 25 times in the book. What does a man gain for his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come, generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place where the streams come in, they will return again. Let's turn quickly over to the book of Romans, chapter 1. I want to read something to you. I didn't mark it. I didn't know God was going to lay it on my heart. Hold, please. And the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. We can know about God and about the things that have been created by God by looking at what? What has been made, which is what? All of creation. And the first missionary is Mother Nature herself. And so Solomon runs down through this very fact before Romans was ever written. He runs down through this very fact and he says, guess what? The wind blows. And then guess what's going to happen tomorrow? The wind blows. The sun's going to come up and it's going to go down and we're going to go, oh, goodbye, sun. But guess what? It's going to make its way around and it's going to come up again and it's going to go down again. And every day it's going to come and it's going to go. This was my favorite when I was studying this time. The streams run into the ocean, okay? So there are vast rivers. Those of us who got to go to New Orleans, we stood out on the pier. I take them there every year, right outside of the Cafe Du Monde. You go over some steps, down some steps, over a little railroad track, down, and there's a dock there that looks across the Mississippi River, all right? And that river runs all the way up North America. It is wide. It is vast. It is deep. It is pouring hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of gallons every second into the ocean. If you pour hundreds and hundreds of gallons per second, or I can attest to this, if you pour several gallons a second into a sink on the upstairs floor and that sink is plugged up, guess what happens? The sink overflows. When it falls onto the floor, guess what happens? The floor overflows. When it goes down into your laundry room, guess what happens? The room overflows. When water fills something up, guess what happens? It runneth over, according to King James. But the rivers flow into the sea, and the sea never overflows. That one hit me hard. Right now, hundreds of thousands of gallons of water are pumping into the ocean. Now, we can blame that on the vastness of the ocean. It's big. But at hundreds of thousands of gallons at a time, it ought to rise. But no. Why? Evaporation. It goes into the sky and returns to the river. Drops down upon the river, returns to the ocean. Ocean, sky, sky, land, land, river, river, ocean. Over and over and over again. And you sit there and go, that does not apply to me. Oh no. Tomorrow morning, you will wake up. Your alarm clock will go off approximately the same time. You will get out of bed. You will put on your clothes. You will do the routine. You will stop at the Starbucks. You will order the same drink that you always order when you stop at the Starbucks. Yes, you will. You will go to work. You will get off about the same time. You will have your lunch. It will probably be in some semblance of the same thing. You will go home. You will run the same course. And Tuesday morning, guess what's going to happen? Your alarm's going to go off about the same time. You're going to go and sit in the same car line. You're going to pray to Jesus that you don't kill the person in front of you or behind you. Then you're going to pray harder that you don't kill your child so that you don't have to sit in that line anymore. And you shout at the top of your lungs, meaningless, meaningless. It's all me. I'd like to apologize to our visitors today. My friend invited me to church. They said Jesus would give me hope. This guy, no hope. You're welcome. Solomon is saying, no matter what you do, it's been done. No matter what you do, it will be done again. Whatever toil you put in will make no difference. What? Yes. How many of you mowed the yard this week? How many of you mowed the yard last week? How many of you will have to mow the yard? I shaved today. But next week I will get out of bed and I will need to shave again. And I do not like it. I want to not have to shave. But no matter how hard we work, right, Brother Jeff? No matter how hard we work, there's going to be this fuzzilicious thing that happens to us. And if we want to keep our masculine, large muscular thing that you and I have going on, I've been working on it. I was in the gym with him just the other day. Then we have to shave this thing down. And guess what's going to happen next week? Meaningless. Meaningless. It's all meaningless. And many of you are like, oh. Women are like, well, we don't have that problem. Yes, you do. Every summer. Oh, let me do it this way. Let me do it this way. That's so wrong. Let's talk about laundry. How many of you did 6 or 7 loads of laundry this week? Hallelujah. I got an amen. Yes, yes. Here's what happens to us. My sweet, beautiful, wonderful wife, I don't mind helping, but when I help, it doesn't help, okay? Because there are certain things that I will put in a load that she won't put in a load, or there are certain things that I don't turn inside out that she likes inside out. There are certain things that I think can be washed on warm that she wants washed on cold. And so I will do it, and she doesn't whine or complain, but I get the look. It's not a mean look. It's just a look like, oh, you helped. And there's a cycle to the piles that go out in the floor, and the kids are learning what piles we have. I'm learning, we're all learning the piles, and then the piles disappear into the laundry, and then the laundry disappears into the basket, and then the basket disappears onto our dining room table, and then it goes from the dining room table to the chairs, separated by individual, and now the laundry is done after 3 or 4 days, and I look in the basket, and guess what? There's laundry. I love to cook. Cooking is fun. Until you have dishes. Meaningless. Meaningless. It's all meaningless. Now, some of you, I have stolen your hope. But there's a couple guys in the room who are like, I love this message. Why, you wonder? Because Moberly's going to be sitting in his chair in his man draws, all right, with his T-shirt on, watching some hunting or fishing show, and Kristen's going to come in, and she's going to go, are you going to mow the lawn? Nope. You heard the preacher. Meaningless. Oh, oh. Nathan says, doesn't matter. It's my job. Are you going to do the laundry? Nope. Meaningless. I love my church. And then there's a couple of you out there. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm working a migraine, and it was coming on. And now that I've gotten excited, it's like blup, blup, blup. So if I do this, I'm fine. It just hurts, all right? There's some of you out there who are going, I shall not. My life matters. I am man. Hear me roar. Me build business. Me make children. Me leave legacy. Anybody in this room name your great-great-great-grandfather besides Chris Probst? Anybody? Anybody in this room, can you name your great-great-great-grandfather right now without looking something up? Three greats, you can do it. One person out of 100. Name your great-great-great-great-grandfather. All right. That's not that long ago. That's just 100 years. We've been on this planet for a couple thousand or more. Meaningless. Watch this. Hey, kids, anybody right over here, any of you tell me who Pete Maravich is? Any of you? Who was he? The greatest point guard to ever play the game. None of you know his name. Pistol Pete Maravich. I didn't ask you guys, I asked them. Because the next generation, guess what? Gone. Gone. I tried to pick somebody that was, you know, famous. Somebody that they would know. Meaningless. Meaningless. Everything under the sun is meaningless. All things are, ready for this? Solomon's like, I don't mean to keep going, but I'm exhausted. Anybody ever done that? The monotony just wears you out. I feel like the bills are never paid. I mean, heck, I paid bills last month. Aren't we done? Oh, guess what? Here they come again, just like that stubble on my chin. There it is. Thank you, Citibank. Welcome home. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. I can't even stress how much I love to see that Rumpke bill, that Chase bill, that sewage bill. I'm kind of thankful for the sewage, but the eye never has enough of seeing. The ear never has enough from hearing. Let me tell you what he's saying now. He says, even if you find something that you like, nay, love, if you find something that you enjoy, the cycle's going to start again. Why? Because when you find something you want, guess what you want after that? More of it. I get an iPhone 4. An iPhone 4. Yet I wait today for the iPhone 8. Or the iPhone X, which is really bothering me. What happened to 9? 7, 8, 9. Ah, ha, ha. I work with children. Listen to me. You find something full of pleasure and you want more. There is no eating of the bologna and then you have the tri-tip and then you have the filet, and I would put them in this order, and then you have the ribeye. But you can flip them if you want to, but that's the order I would put them in. And you don't go, man, as I bite upon this perfectly cooked, medium rare ribeye, because well done is charcoal, not steak. And when I take this bite, I am not thinking, man, I wish this were Oscar Mayer. You don't. You want what? More. You become Willy Wonka, Veruca Salt, all right? I just want more, all right? What is the song that's in my head right now? But who cares? Oh, Little Mermaid. No big deal. I want more. I want to go where the people are. Never. What's the word I'm getting ready to use? We are never satisfied. We are never satisfied. We're never satisfied with our children. We're never satisfied by our spouses. We're never satisfied by our income. We're never satisfied by the dinner we put out on the table. Because the minute that it's over, we think ahead to the next moment at the dinner table. The minute we get clothes that fit, we eat a meal or we deny ourselves a meal. And we need pants that fit, all right? I am excited right now because my pants that I had to get so that I fit in them won't stay up. You will see me wearing longer shirts for the next couple of weeks until I can afford to get pants that will stay up, all right? Because, yes, we don't need any of that, okay? Meaningless, I promise, all right? Now, we are never satisfied. So Solomon said, well, can that be tested? Look at what he says next. Is there anything under which one can say, look, this is something new? Hey, I created a CD. Oh, how awesome this CD is. VHS. Every kid over here is like, what's a VHS? Eight-track. They think an eight-track is a multiple NASCAR race. It's like the circuit, you know? Meaningless. Meaningless. Everything is meaningless. It was here already. Here before our time, no remembrance of men of old, and those who are yet to come will not be remembered. I, the teacher, king of Israel in Jerusalem, devoted myself to study and explore by wisdom all that was done under heaven. He said, so I am the smartest person to ever live. I told you last week, this whole book's about a grand experiment. He gives us a look into it, and he's going to break it down for the rest of the book. He said, I tried it. He was going to do an experiment of the senses. He was going to use sight, sound, taste, touch, smell to seek out all things that were pleasurable, all things that were powerful. I devoted myself. What a heavy burden God has laid upon me. But I'm going after this task. I have seen all things done under the sun. There it is again. And all of them are meaningless, like chasing the wind. What is twisted can't be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. And then I thought to myself, look, I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem. I have experienced much. I applied it, and it was meaningless. Then he says this, so I also tried madness and folly. He said, just to be sure, after I bought a yacht, after I ate at Tony's for every meal, after I bought a Lamborghini and an Alfa Romeo, after I had servants wait on me hand and foot, after I drank the Cristal of Cristals, the wonderfulest of whiskeys, I then had Spam and Ramen. I then had a canoe. I then drove a Yugo. There's one that's passed for you. I then did everything myself. I have drank of the finest, and I have partaken of the Pabst. That's funny right there. I have spat upon the scriptures. I used to do that all the time with cough drops in my mouth. I'd find myself missing chapters. The pages were all stuck together. Then I applied myself to wisdom and folly, and I learned this too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. I brought this song to you before, and I give it to you once more. The higher you climb, the more that you see. The more that you see, the more that you know. The more that you know, the less that you learn. The less that you learn, the higher you climb. The higher you climb, the more. Craig, is there something that we can walk out of here with that's going to make us feel hopeful? Probably not. But let me remind you of something that nearly every week until we're done with this book, I'm going to remind you of. I hinted at it last week, and it is overwhelming on my heart this week. First, let us focus on the repeatable line. He is speaking about everything what? Under the sun. Everything that our sight, our sound, our smell, our taste, our touch can reach out to the pleasures of man, religion, family, friends, power, money, and pleasure itself. He has tasted all of them, and he will go into that later, and he has said it's all meaningless. It will never what? There's a word. It will never satisfy. I taught you this about 6 to 8 months ago, and I'm going to tell you again. There was a great, great preacher, all right? One of the greatest preachers of our day. And he was asked a question about heaven. And the person wanted to know, what is it like? And many people will respond with, well, streets of gold. Well, angels. Well, a crystal sea. Ask me and I will respond like this. I do not know. I have not been there. However, according to the scriptures, there is one word that will describe heaven. It is?
Satisfying.
Heaven will satisfy. This great preacher said, of this I am certain. I know that heaven will satisfy. There will be no more hunger. There will be no more thirst. There will be no more weariness. All that we strive for will be satisfied in Christ Himself. Everything under the sun is meaningless, but beyond the sun is satisfaction. And it is true that you were created not for this world, but for heaven, which begs the question, why will we spend all of our time, all of our money, all of our power, all of our toil on things that will not last under the sun? This sermon finds hope not in its premise, but in its promise that beyond the sun, there is more. And to strive for the things of heaven gives us we must change our perspective. We must have buried deep within us this very thing. Paul understood, I am not made for this world. We are aliens and strangers to this land. We seek out other planets, and we find on those planets that they don't have the water supply that we need to exist. They don't have the oxygen levels that we need to exist. We cannot live as we were made to live because on those planets, there aren't the things. In your spirit, it is exactly the same. There is something that you need, that you are created divinely to have, that this world cannot provide. And you long for this spiritual oxygen only found with Him. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. You will be whole. You will find meaning. You will be satisfied through Christ alone, because He is the gateway to where we will find satisfaction. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. the new has come. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Meaningless, meaningless. All of our toil is meaningless unless we chase one thing. Christ alone. The bridge to heaven.